I don't know why that tickled me, it just did. I'm such a child.
Hi, and welcome to episode 64 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm your host, Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mouse from Mars and Stalkerville, and joining me to gatecrash the world of independent comics this week are writer, artist and creator of the superior webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And you can tell by the way he uses his walk, he's a woman's man, no time to talk. Apart from tonight, of course, otherwise, what's the point of him being here? It's Tony Esmond.
Oh, it's me. Thank you, mate.
Now, before we get going, apologies. I am patient zero this week. That's the reason for my sexy dulcet tones. But obviously, I'm a weak human being, and I've got man flu.
What did you describe yourself as earlier? Half mast? I don't know what that means. Half mast.
Oh, it's a technical term I will explain to you after the show, Tony.
As long as you don't show me.
Well, we'll see. But anyway, folks, might as well get going. This week, we're joined by a duo whose latest book, Last Driver, has been making waves all over the indie world, and with an already successful Kickstarter, is guaranteed to blow people's minds all over the shop. I mean, we've talked about it on this show before. So firstly, we have a writer whose credits include the supernatural horror western Redden, and the online comic Campaign 2079. Not only that, he's one of the minds behind Dead Canary comics. And a returning guest to boot.
Hey.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
It's Chris Baker.
Hi. Hi,
Chris.
Hello, that was quite a wonderful introduction.
Yeah, I do try. It was just off the top of my head, if you can believe that.
No, it's not.
It's on paper in front of you, isn't it?
Completely. Completely. It's one of the only things it is. And alongside Chris is the artist for Last Driver, who needs no introduction, but he's going to get one anyway. He's a veteran of British comics with work on titles such as 2000 AD, the Judge Dredd magazine, and Bulletproof Coffin. It's Shaky Kane.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. I'm
hey, Shaky.
The comeback kid.
You were never gone, we know that.
Oh, it's a jamboree. We've got five people on this show. Have I got the
yeah.
number? Yeah.
Yeah.
Five people, and the internet has not collapsed in on itself.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a fun one tonight, and anyone who's had a look at Last Driver will know why it will be a fun one. And we'll be talking to the guys about the magnificent madness that is that book, how it came to be, how they collaborate, and more soon enough. But before all that, shall we talk comics? That's why we're here.
I can't see why not.
Yeah, shall we? That's why we're here. Tony?
Me? I've got Grey Area, Our Town, which is the new one of the new releases about to come out from Avery Hill. We talked to Avery Hill. We talked a book by Steve Tillotson a couple of weeks ago, which is very good, and this is equally as good. It's by Tim Bird. I think it's 2 years ago now, is it? He won Best Newcomer at the Comics Awards at Thought Bubble.
Yeah, I believe it's. Okay. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that my fourth member of the show, Emily, did an absolutely lovely review of it on Down the Tube this week. If you get a chance, go over, head over, and you can see her eloquent review, much more eloquent than me, along with some of the artwork. It's a gentle story. It's perhaps not for everyone, but it's a series of books. I think it's his third or fourth Grey Area book. Of a series that I really admire, and I really enjoyed it. It's one of the first things I reviewed when I was on Beard Rock, and absolutely loved it from the get-go. It's the cover is a sort of very basic countryside view. It's stripped down in sort of use of line and colour. It's got muted greys over sort of orangey red suns that appear in the sky. Really, really lovely cover. And it's kind of a sort of poetic everyday slice of life story. It's cut into chapters. The first one is entitled Flying, and it's essentially just about two grandfather and his grandson who go off and fly some kites. Really, really nice story. The second chapter is called Our Town, and it begins with showing you how to build or fold origami birds. And the woman who's making them, she packs them in a holdall and she leaves her house in the sort of nighttime in this small town. and she puts her hood up as the rain sort of pours down. And Tim does a sort of lovely rendition of A Quiet Town in the Rain. Really beautiful stuff. And hours later, a man awakes in the morning in a sort of suburban area, and he decides to go to get a coffee and go to work, and he heads out to the bus stop. Mm-hmm. And on the bus stop, where he's about to get the bus from, is one of these little origami birds. And you begin to discover them throughout the town. And they become a sort of axis point for a lot of what happens in the story. They become a sort of almost like a little touchstone as the book sort of goes on. And it's a book about the passage of time in a familiar town. And you know how the town that you grew up in, I mean, I grew up in a town in Middlesex, and, you know, I didn't really go back there for many years after I sort of became a working person. And I returned back, and sort of part of the memories remain there, don't they? But not all of them. Yeah. And it's about going back, and he meets his partner, and they travel back to this town, and they have with them this sort of bag of origami birds. And it's quite a beautiful story. I won't ruin the end of it. Tim's art is quite simple. It's got a sort of iconic indie feel to it. Sort of, he doesn't. There's no noodling in it. It's not sort of super detailed or anything, but you can. The landscapes and the houses and the fields and the trees and stuff have as much character almost as the people in it, and I think there's a reason for that. I think that perhaps it's sort of such an uneventful. I hate talking about this on a show. We're about to talk about a punk rock driver in a car killing dinosaurs, but it's it's completely the opposite of that. And as much as I love that, I love this as well. You know, they're both very good, but this for its own way, and it's it might not be everyone's choice, but it's. It'll put a smile, you know, sort of a gentle smile on your face. And it's a nice thing. It's getting released on the 1st of October. I think you'll be able to buy it certainly at Thought Bubble. If you want to know more about Tim, he's on Twitter at T_J_Bird, B-I-R-D. And he's at www.timothybird.co.uk. Timothy Bird does sound like some kind of cartoon character, doesn't it? If you want to hear more about Avery Hill, go to their Twitter, Avery Hill Pub. It's Avery Hill and then PUBL. And if you want to buy a copy of that or any of their other books, which we've talked about a lot on the show, and we do like, I think we've got all the editorial staff on at some point or other, and they're all great people. AveryHillPublishing.BigCartel.com. But I say go and see Emily's review at Down the Tubes, because there's some lovely artwork, and Emily pins down a couple of points that really sort of didn't occur to me until I read a review about some of the colouring. Really good stuff. There you go, that's my last one.
Tilly Walden win an award during the week. Was that
she
the last week?
That award with it? I'm not sure.
Because she tweeted something out, and I was like, oh, congratulations. I mean, she's got deserves everything that's coming her way.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Yeah, and a past guest. There you go.
Yeah. It's a nice one.
Anyone who comes on the show wins an award eventually.
Yeah. Their award is just surviving until another day.
Don't jinx it.
No. Yeah.
Oh, so that's a cracking book. What about you, Dan? What would you like to
say? This is one we got sent in only a couple of days ago. It literally got released last week. The Last Sheriff, issue 3.
Oh, yes. Oh, this looks great. Yeah.
Yeah, published by Reckless Hero. It's done by Chris Jenkins, Chris Imber, and edited by Matthew King. I think Chris writes it, colours it. Sorry, Chris Jenkins writes and colours it, and Chris Imber does the pencils. And. Yeah. Fantastic. It's £3 per issue, or if you go online to recklesshero.com, you can get all three for £7, which is really well worth it. Yeah. The brief rundown, The Last Sheriff is a futuristic western action-adventure comic written by Chris Jenkins and illustrated by Chris Imber. The story follows John H. Wilson, a former sheriff in the New Territories. As you'd imagine, issue 3 carries on from the first two issues, and the main character, John and Rose, begin a process of kind of bringing together like a kind of Magnificent Seven style posse of these kind of individuals to take on the coalition, who are essentially the bad guys in this kind of post-apocalyptic Wild West future. Through the story, you're treated to flashbacks of the Marshal's past, which sort of hints at these kind of obstacles which his character arc is going to have to overcome, where he's kind of let people down in the past and run away from things, and it kind of haunts him. So presumably you kind of get a bit of payoff for that. As if the vast forces of the coalition aren't enough to contend with, a mysterious and ruthless bounty hunter called Styx, who dresses in extremely similar style to that of our hero, takes up a bounty on the sheriff's head as well. Chris does a really great job on the artwork. Chris
Imber, he's a beast, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
I like to put that out there. Yeah,
he went to Ice last week and he was posting up sketches and conversations he'd had with editors and artists, and how he's really can take a lot from an artist who takes aboard info.
So much advice, yeah.
Yeah, and wants to grow and push himself and not just say, right, I know what I'm doing and that's the end of it. You should constantly be learning, never be, always be a student. And Chris Imber personifies this. He's got a really tireless work ethic, and it's paying off.
Yeah, I think so, he's going places soon, isn't he? I really definitely get that impression with Chris, yeah. Yeah. And Chris Jenkins, who's also equally as good a bloke. And
yeah.
He's writing on this and the colours, I think. Did he do colours or letters?
He writes it and colours it.
And colours it, that's right. Yeah, and he's
I managed to catch up with him, like have a proper chat with him at Melksham Comic Con.
Yeah, I did as well. It's good egging.
And when I asked, what is the plan for it? You know, he's got like something like between 12 and 17 issues planned for it. You know, so he's got,
is he?
Yeah, he's okay. Got a whole, he's got a long form story planned out, and you know, fair play. He knows what he wants, and like, and it's well written. It's fantastically written, and his colouring is always spot on. I don't think enough people. We've bigged up colourists a lot recently, and I definitely think he's at the forefront of one of the best, certainly in independent on the UK scene, without a doubt.
Well, I was saying, Chris's artwork is only kind of boosted by Jenkins' colours. He absolutely brings it to life. I mean, there's some nighttime scenes that are just so well rendered, so well coloured. It really kind of boosts up the atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely.
So kind of take my hat off to him in regards to that. As well as this in the last two issues, it's an absolutely... I think Sheriff is a standout title in the small press scene in regards to the art and the production quality in general. Everything's really slick and well done. Extremely well put together. It's a fantastic book, and we always give props to Chris Imber and Jenkins, and the book's a testament to their skills. I would heartily recommend getting it.
Yeah, and, definitely. I think you'd like it as well, Chris, I think, and you, Shaky. I think it's up your street. It's got that sort of frenetic craziness about it, I think you two would like, yeah.
You've sort of sold it to me, actually. Yeah, I think I'll be digging into it.
Unapologetic, classic action comic.
Yeah.
It's ticks all the boxes.
They do good a stuff. Lot of shows as well. I think they might. Are they at Nottingham this year? I believe they are.
They are. Yeah. Yeah. Reckless Hero there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So introduce us.
Yeah. What do you do? Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah. Yes.
So go get that.
There you go.
Nice.
As for what I've been reading this week, there was a lot on. I couldn't. There was so much I've read. I wasn't quite sure what to pick, and then I picked up a book on Comixology that I've had for a couple of weeks. It's been sitting there ready for me to read. And I decided to pick it up and read it, and it's a book called The Corpse Walker, number one, by Trav Hart, who's a creator that I've never heard of before. He's a US creator. Okay. It's a black and white, very sort of pulpy sort of book, and it's amazing. I love it. Here's a brief summary. On the outskirts of deep space, the rumours spread, a man drifting from planet to planet, leaving in his wake salvation for the good and destruction for the wicked, a man who is neither alive nor dead. No one knows who he is or where he is going. They simply call him the Corpse Walker. Yes. Cool. like all the great straight-to-DVD films that we love to watch, that's the sort of thing that would be on the back of the box, isn't it?
I'd imagine judging the entire planet guilty or innocent would take a bit of time.
You're
going to go in and see every person.
I think that's a very brief summary of the concept.
Oh, okay.
Take my money.
It's more... I would say if you're a fan of something like The Red Mass from Mars, for instance, you definitely love this. It's sort of that kind of sensibility mixed with a bit of Fear Agent and books like that, especially Fear Agent. It's got that kind of vibe. It's a black and white book, 34 pages. This is on Comixology when I go. I don't know about hard copies, but digitally it's beautiful stuff. Trav's work is amazing. It's a very pulpy story of this sort of undead kind of astronaut. He's not a zombie as in like he just wanders around wanting brains, but you know, he's just going on this adventure trying to find survivors and dealing with all kinds of crazy mutants and monsters. There's a zombie at the very beginning, and I thought, oh no, it's going to be one of those space zombie books, but then it becomes something more like a Riddick film. Do you know what I mean? It goes into that sort of world where he's on a different planet and he's undead because there are loads of nanobites running through his body which constantly sort of repair him and keep him going. And he's got a suit, his spacesuit talks to him as well, so it's like a buddy comedy sort of thing going on through the whole sort of idea. It's something that we've said this about a few books. It's something that I could quite easily see in a 2000 AD. It's got that kind of vibe to it. I'll put some pages on the Facebook and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, because I was so impressed with Trav's work. He used a lot of brushes and ink work, beautiful sort of mastery over shadows. A very humble guy, because there's a lot of pages in the back matter which are, there's a letter from Trav sort of saying, you know, thank you for reading this. It was like, you know, when you meet those humble creators that are just pleased that someone's picked up their book.
We're
the only egomaniacs here. But reading it, you know, immediately I knew this was the kind of guy that we'd like. And he did a four-page, for instance, in the sort of back matter as well. He shows that when he first did the idea, he had it in his head for ages, and he tried just doing it like a four-pager off the top of his head, which he said he recommends that no one does that. No one tries doing a story without any sort of idea of where they're going. But it helped him flesh out, like, the character, what it was going to look like, what would work. And he certainly revised some of those ideas for this story as well. For instance, he meets a sort of survivor on this planet, and it's this young teenage girl that has, like, a huge sort of mutant monster for a pet. And she's also got a chainsaw sword. So you've got, you know, that sort of stuff. I'm down with that.
Is there any other kind of sword to have?
There shouldn't be. I think the TV series Sharp would have been so much better if they all had chainsaw swords.
It would have been an ironic title.
Oh, I see what he's there.
I think we threw a few dinosaurs into the mix, I'd have definitely fucking watched it.
Yeah.
Jurassic Sharp. Hey! Yeah. I appreciate
it. I'm coming up with taglines here. This is great.
Oh, no, I was going to do a Sean Bean accent then, but I'm not even going to attempt that.
Oh, please don't.
Back to the Corpse Walker, though. If this is Trav's first attempt at like doing a book. And he's got a whole story planned out, and I can't wait for more of this. The cover's black and white as well. He's got the banner of Pooping Flyball Press, which is like a flying eyeball. He publishes it all himself, and he's just, like many of us out there, he's run it through Comixology.
Person.
I think he's crazy in the best kind of way.
Like everyone on
this show, you know, they're normal when they speak to everyone else, but when it comes to the comic books, they just let their imagination fly. And it's just brilliant stuff. So I highly recommend you go to Comixology and find out more about that. You can follow him on Twitter at TravHartArt, which is a bit of a mouthful, but it's easier when you type it. Just brilliant stuff. Absolutely brilliant. The Corpse Walker. The only, if I would say a constructive criticism, it's just the lettering on the speech bubbles is kind of a little simplistic. Not the actual text themselves. That's all perfectly fine. It's more like the drawing of the speech bubbles. It's very done in Illustrator, sort of is vectorized, you know, sort of stuff. So, but I know from personal experience that the more you do, the better that comes. So, you know, it's only onwards and upwards from here, but brilliant stuff.
Oh, nice.
So there you go. So we ended on a sort of fairly sort of crazy out there sci-fi book.
Apropos, I think is the phrase.
Yeah, and I think that's suitable for us to move on to the main content of the show, which is Last Driver.
Yeah.
Now, that's why we're here. That's why we've got Shaky and Chris.
That's our raise on Detra tonight.
Yeah. Yep. Anyone who's listened to this show know we're big fans of this book, and how beautifully crazy it is. But for those who don't know anything about it, Chris or Shaky,
hello,
Last Driver, tell us more about it or pitch it to us.
After you, Shaky.
It's sort of a road movie. I describe it as. It's sort of an 80s video shot by sort of homage, and it's a lot of fun. It's very lateral story, and it takes the main character Frank Sudden on a journey across the sort of post apocalyptic landscape. That's about it, really.
That's what we need. Yeah.
Anybody who's knows me knows I'm a John Carpenter fan. I'm actually, yeah. I'm going to see him live at the Troxy in November. Oh, yeah. So yeah, I can't. I'm very
Is he
excited.
Playing? Because I know he does performs music now, doesn't he? Yeah.
He's performing music. I'm plugging him on your show.
Yeah,
his albums are brilliant. He plays with his son, I think, doesn't he? It's his son who plays.
Yeah, he's got like a band around him. It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, anyone that knows me knows I love John Carpenter, and the one thing I love the most is how, even though his films they are B movies, you know, they're not like critically acclaimed things, but they always have this character in them that's just so amazing to get behind, you know, Jack Burton, Snake Plissken, and so Frank Sutton is kind of like, that's my mini homage to that. Yeah, yeah, he's the guy who doesn't matter if he's bungling it or doing it right, you still love him.
Yeah.
And
he's a Jack Burton character, isn't he? But,
yeah, definitely.
But harder.
Yeah. Checks in the mail, baby. He absolutely. He's got his little catchphrases, and Shaky, just the first time Shaky drew him, it was like, you got it.
Yeah. My favorite phrase of his was "shift gears and keep moving." Oh, that's just a brilliant phrase.
Yeah. Keep driving.
Keep driving. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just all he wants to do, man. You know. Don't we all?
Yeah.
Where did the name Frank Sutton come from?
Oh, no one's ever asked me that, and that's a good story. So I wrote this ages ago when Dead Canary was sort of just starting. We just turned into a little ideas pumping machine, and so me and Matt and Mark and Paul and we all got together and started pumping out ideas for anything. And I wrote this weird, like, character who was like, imagine like Frank Booth from Blue Velvet. So he's like, kind of like, but he's almost like a mystic Native American Indian-y guy who goes around like basically getting people's lives into shape. And he was called Frank Sutton. I just thought it was good because the Frank was obviously the Booth thing, and the name Sutton just feels like something's going to happen, or something, you know, something a bit on edge about it. And and the name was good, so I copied and pasted it into the script. So
it's like all those great characters. Like, was it Jack Death was the character in Trances, and all those great 80s sort of crazy.
They're always Jack or Frank.
Yeah, always.
It's a strong name.
John as well. That's another classic 80s.
Yeah. What sort of Shaky? What sort of movies do you say is a little bit of the sort of 80s, 90s? Crazy sci-fi movies. What sort of ones would you enjoy that you see reflected in this? Is anything you want to say?
Sorry, nothing springs to mind.
It's just Hell Comes to Frogtown is obviously one that.
Of course. I'm not very good on the spot. I can't think of anything.
It was that pregnant pause and that like creaking of the chair, like you were.
I thought I could hear a knife being sharpened there. I'm not being.
Let me think. 80s movies. Because this book is
very much fueled by that kind of like.
Yeah.
Just it's like take the seatbelt off and just go for it, isn't it? Really.
Shaky, what was that video cover you sent me when we were working on it? It was like the robot that she finds and turns into a piece of art. What's that film called?
Hardware.
Hardware, that's the one. Yeah, it's taken from what was it? 2018 story that's actually hijacked by Kevin O'Neill. And at the end, they've got to put the credits now, haven't they?
I think it's sort of referred to as the first 2000 AD movie, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, in that documentary, that's what they say, didn't they?
Yeah, because I know they tried to bring a lawsuit against Kevin to stop him mentioning it or something, didn't they?
That's
outrageous.
it was a very good movie, wasn't it? I really liked that.
Yeah, really good.
Guy from Filter the Nephilim or something. Wasn't he the guy who was the scrap metal collector? I seem to remember that.
They did Dust Devil as well, didn't they? The same company, I think.
Yeah. That's right. I had a great poster as well, the sort of helmet with the American flag on.
That's it. Very 2000 AD, wasn't it? Very Judge Street.
Yeah.
But Shaky and I, we ended up like exchanging quite a lot of like weird video. I think because like Shaky's wife, well, not like videos, but like, you know, pictures of this and that. And Shaky's wife has this amazing like thing of doing these crazy collages of Jane. Oh, And if you haven't checked her out, check her out on Facebook. She's actually really
okay.
I think it's Jane Kane or something.
Jane Kane, that's right.
Yeah. Jane Kane, the Kane gang. But yeah, we did like, I think I gave him like a mood board. Did I give you a mood board like a year ago or something?
Yeah, that's right. I remember that arrived and it's sort of like photographs of cars and Monument Valley and that sort of stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And big, I was just like big fucking, because at the moment, Shaky's also, just to plug another book, got Cowboys and Insects.
Looks amazing. Yeah, I saw a preview of it the other day. Really good. Yeah.
Shaky had shared, like, I think I'd seen a couple of bits from it, like held up on Skype, and him and David Heim were working on this crazy story. But then there's that the Monster Trucks one as well, which I think when I was actually writing it, I had read Monster Trucks, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Monster Trucks got the same sort of feel in a way, hasn't it? Monster Trucks much more sort of undisciplined, but it's similar sort of natural journey.
I liked how you guys mentioned in the previous podcast about the colourful, the bright skies and everything, because I made a point of saying it was like, it was never at night time, it was never at dusk, it was always a nice day, you know?
Yeah, always full in your face, full colour, blood splattering, yeah, I know what you mean.
Because usually post-apocalyptic tales are all fucking dreary and washed out and...
Boring!
This is great, yeah.
We need fabulous colour.
We need full-on Bronx Warriors. That's another favourite of mine. Full-on crazy. Yeah. Shaky, I was going to ask you a little bit about how you started. Would you mind talking a bit about that?
Well, I started drawing it.
Yeah, I mean, no, how you started generally in art. Because, I mean, I think I first found you in Escape magazine. I think that's where I first saw you. How did you get that gig? Was that with Paul Gravatt, was it, or...?
When I started, I've always drawn, you know, as far back as I remember. And I moved to London. I started drawing the UNESCO Express. So, finding the place and escape is fairly easy. I think it's a long time ago now. I can't remember what I did. I did this, like, really petite postcards and did Elvis and stuff like that, William Barris, things like that. That's when I started. But easy. There's no actual point where I can remember why I didn't draw this, you know, very similar stuff.
Okay. Are we losing anyone?
Am I?
I am mute on.
Oh, am I there? This is all going so well.
Yeah. 80s videos, did you say?
Yeah. So the 1980s, yeah.
How did you get your gig at Escape, Shaky, if you don't mind telling us about that?
How did I get the name, Shaky? I had a David Bowie album that said Shaky had a party that lasted all night. And also, I had a book and it had a picture of this sort of moon explorer that was called Shaky. So I sort of put the two things together and I just sort of like to... Put things together.
So that's how Shaky Kane came to be.
Yeah. And it came was from Citizen Kane, which I read at Strangfield's History Comics, and they were saying how all the comic artists were keen to watch it when it came.
Yeah.
I watched it, you know, I don't know, maybe it was, maybe I was watching it after the event.
I'd love to see you do an adaptation of Citizen Kane. I think that'd be quite good.
Yeah.
Good weather with bright blue sky.
Would there be any strange sort of bird beasts, though, or giant insects in that version?
It's a shame if there wasn't.
Strange.
Certainly he would be an insect under that mask.
Yeah. Rosebud would be something entirely different, I get that feeling.
Just imagine a cockroach saying Rosebud.
So, with Last Driver, where do you imagine this going after? Because obviously you've got the successful Kickstarter. But is this just a one-and-done book, or is there more, you know, is it the beginning of something even more epic than the book already is?
Well, the official line, lads, from Dead Canary is that Last Driver is a standalone book, and we are progressing into the indie territory with a little trepidation. because people, you know, they want something for their buck at a con, and they want to know, why should I invest in a small comic? So we try to make our books one coherent story. But Last Driver, I mean, I'm a big fan of the book. It's very simple, the story, but Frank's really fun, and gosh darn it, we want to see Frank, like, doing other things. But I think, I mean, I know that Shaky is working on another project at the moment. Dead Canary have a few other titles in the mix. I have penned a few Frank Sudden escapades, but it's kind of like, I think we want to see how this one does outside of the Kickstarter realm. Go to the cons, talk to people. I mean, the fact that you guys love it is great, and other people have loved it. And I guess we just need to get people reading it. Like you said before, when someone reads your work, that's the catnip, really.
I love the fact that you're thinking beyond the Kickstarter, though. You're thinking of life after, you know, this whole campaign. You know, because some people, I think, they just want that one and done. They want their book funded, and then that's it. Whereas you're thinking of, you know, this is something that's going to be in your catalogue of Dead Canary, you know, for good, isn't it? So
The difference between that guy and me is that that guy hasn't lived in a house full of boxes full of comics. So I would say that you need a plan for your books once you've got them printed. And that's why it's kind of good to, you know, get together with friends and start a label or something, and just try to be a bit organized. Go to cons, push them, you know, pursue the distribution line. We're very lucky that a lot of stores will now stock us now. So, big shout out to those guys. We really love like Raygun Comics. If you haven't checked them out, I'm sure some of you guys have been to Raygun.
Yeah, I've been to the East End one. Yeah, I've been to the one in the East End. I don't think I've been to. There's another one in Richmond, didn't they? They got two.
That's the mothership. Yeah, that's a really good store. I mean, these little stores will stock us. You know, Orbital. They are comics in London, really. Orbital and, like, Gosh Comics. So places like that are great. Obviously, we all want to be in, like, War Sustains and Foils. But you just got to keep going and keep making stuff and keep talking. And the community is great, right? I mean, this whole indie community is so warming and so nice. So,
yeah.
I mean, we were at Safari Festival. Shaky was there selling his Saucer Man. You must get a Saucer Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't do Safari this year. I did it last year, but this year it clashed with Melksham, so I didn't get to go. But yeah, it looked great this year, I'd say.
What's Saucer Man about then? Tell us a bit more about that.
It's a 8.5-inch resin statue of the called Lo the Saucer Men, and it's a red guy with a luminous fine saucer on his head. He's extending a hand of peace.
Well, it all makes sense.
You're right. Do need this. Yeah.
Guys, this is like amazing art that Shaky does. So he's a man of many talents.
It's a sort of conversation piece, I call it.
And speaking of Orbital, Shaky, you do the artwork for a lot of their merchandise, don't you?
I did. That's something that's happened. You know, I've got to say a lot of it. I've done the carry bags and things. Yeah.
Right.
That was good.
Is that your local comic book shop, is it, Orbital? Because I know it's mine.
No, I live in Devon, so it's a bit of a traipse.
Okay.
But it would be, definitely, that or Raygun East.
Yes.
It's particularly nice. That's, you know, a fantastic store.
Yeah, we're very lucky in London because we've got five or six great stores, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't live in London, just in case anyone wonders.
We don't let him live in London.
I'm not allowed. The border won't let me cross.
Oh, that Sadiq Khan.
Poor boy. He was mad. Yeah.
Normally, Len.
Shaky, being down in Devon, do you actually manage to get to many conventions then?
No, I don't. No. I'd hardly ever.
So you're just trapped in your studio, just working constantly?
Well, I wouldn't say trapped, you know. I think I'm fairly fortunate in a way.
He's very, very close.
Fortunate, yeah. But I've got a TV and stuff, you know. So.
Yeah.
He has running water.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
Water window, Tesco Express.
But Shaky, you are coming to Thought Bubble.
I am, that's in Leeds, isn't it? That's going to be a bit of a hype, but I'm coming, definitely. I'm so much forward to it.
We will be...
I imagine your studio, Shaky, as being like, was it the arena in The Last Driver? So you open the door, and there's this giant frog creature, and, you know.
I think you'd be surprised to see it's sort of like the family front room, everything's tied as away every night.
So it all goes onto the page then, basically. All the craziness is on one page.
I've lost the drawers here. I keep stopping. There's the IKEA drawers. And
he's got a Tesco Express and he's got IKEA drawers.
This is not how we view you, Jacob.
Yeah, no, it's okay. You know, in fact, what I do is because it's something that you know that's specific to me. All I need is like a semi-square feet of table and a drawing pad, you know, and a scanner. Yeah. That's all you need, really.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I think it was the cat and shaky thing that's got them wondering what your house is like.
No, that was the back garden, wasn't it?
Isn't it? The captain, that was amazing. Did you see the cat and shaky video we posted? Yes. I don't know. Yeah.
Your Kickstarter video is cracking, I've got to tell you. The animation on that, just looking at that before we came on, really good. Yeah.
Well, you can thank, there's some really nice guys over at Adam and Eve, there's an advertising agency, and they've got a little cool in-house animation studio called Cain and Abel, and wow. And they did it for us. They're fans of Shaky, so.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Really good.
That was really something to see there. It really was.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any of your work sort of animated like that before, Shaky?
I've never seen it before. No. I'm always talking about things, but it's the first time it actually happened, so you can actually see, you know.
Yeah.
It lends itself to animation because of the sort of flatness of the actual, it's almost made up of flat layers anyway.
Yeah.
You know. Mm.
Well, we'll certainly be trying to hawk some sort of Last Driver TV series to maybe Adult Swim or something.
Oh,
God,
Swim.
Yes, please. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
They would be the guys.
Animation, yeah.
Do you ever remember Liquid TV? They used to run.
I used to love Liquid TV.
Yeah.
That was where I first saw Aeon Flux and things like that.
Yeah. I'd see Last Driver kind of like a couple of minute segment on each show.
Yeah.
That would go down really well.
Only if Kurt Russell voices Frank.
The because your art, Shaky, it lends itself, as much as I love the comic book stuff you do, it lends itself to sort of street art and stuff like that. Does your work sort of show up in strange places? Do you ever find it on the side of buildings or on, you know, coffee cups or t-shirts that you've never known before?
Tattoos.
I've seen graffiti here locally. Someone sprayed up a picture of mine. I don't know, you know, what the story behind it is. But the nicest thing sometimes when you ask to do things for bands, you know, like the Fat White Family, people like that, to actually come up with an image that they're going to use to promote themselves.
Right.
It's rather rewarding, you know.
Because I've heard you say before you're quite influenced by the punk, not necessarily punk music, but the punk scene, the punk aesthetic. Is that right, or...?
Yeah, the sort of DIY aesthetic of punk, yes, certainly, you know, the fact that, you know, I used to buy these American comics, like, to me, it was unimaginable that you could actually produce stuff like that, but, you know, if you just sit there long enough, I'm sure, you know, you can sort of do something sort of appropriate, so, definitely.
I mean, I know that it's obviously the Kirby references, and you've got, I see some Ditko and stuff like that in your work. Is there anyone else who you see as a reference?
Oh, definitely Kurt Swan's like my favourite.
Oh, wow, brilliant, yeah.
You know, much more than Kirby, even though people probably wouldn't see that in the artwork. You know, it's that sort of small-town America that he depicted, and, you know, things like the Olsen comics that, you know, to me were almost tangible at the time when you saw the, you know, when you read the strips.
Yeah, so it's sort of almost a subverted Kurtz one by you in the same way that David Lynch sort of subverted all those sort of cutesy American TV series that you...
That's it, that's exactly what I'm doing, really, you know.
Brilliant. So, who else would you like to draw at 2008? Because you've done quite a lot of Dread, haven't you? Have you got any plans to return there, or would you like to return and draw somebody?
It all came to a very sudden end when Dave Bishop became the editor, you know, and a phone call.
Yeah.
One phone call later, I was I wasn't a comic artist living in Devon. I was the guy living in Devon, but that's a long time ago now. To return to 2008, did you say?
Yeah.
Well, I was actually invited to fiction. If I turned it down, I can't imagine returning to 2008, you know. Right. But I'd really like to draw something main, sort of mainstream in my style. It'd be really nice to draw something like Captain Hat, something like that, imagine, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I know that I can see a bit of your work in Mike Aldridge.
Yeah.
If you know yourself, I'd love to see a Silver Surfer done by you.
That'd be nice. That'd be good. Yeah. I once drew him in Deadlines, but next to and what's that guy called? Nelson Mandela. So did you remember? Yeah. but yeah, he's got a lot in common, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Cool.
So, how did Shaky Kane and Chris Baker end up working together?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I basically, I approached Shaky to do a short called Campaign 2079, which is part of our sci-fi anthology we're putting together. And Shaky did it, and we released it because of the election, the last general election, so we thought it would be like a fun event to do. Right. And after that was finished, Shaky and I got on, and he said, "What else have you got?" And I sent over, I think I sent first like a snippet of something, which was Frank. It turned into the bit where Frank is on the road at the beginning and kills the pterodactyl.
Right.
And Shaky kind of said, "Yeah, this is cool. I could see this being good." I think that's right, Shaky. Maybe I'm.
No, that sounds about right to me.
It was a long time ago now. A year ago. But then anyway, I wrote the script, and then Matt Fitch, who I collaborated with on Reddin, he basically went at it. It was 90 pages, and he turned it into what it is now. And then Paul Clark Force, another one of our writers, he went at it, and we kind of panel beat it into a good story. And then we gave it to Shaky, and then when we got it back, we ended up going through a whole other edit, and Shaky kindly did more pages, and we sadly lost some. So it's been through the runner, and that was our process. A little bit more than your question. So.
No, that's good.
So that's an interesting way to work, like make up the script, have pages done, and then rework it.
Well, you know, as you've observed, the story is quite simple. But the character is the thing that's fun. And one thing I really enjoy is writing dialogue. I think it's a really fun and entertaining thing to do with yourself, to kind of like have a conversation with yourself. I don't know. I could talk about that for ages. But
you say that's a
lunatic
when you say that.
Oh, yeah. You
hear a conversation in your head. You know, and especially in this sort of environment, where the conversation's got to sound cool as well, isn't it? You know, cool.
And you have to be many different people, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting to kind of experiment in your mind, have a thought experiment, and you know, just have a conversation. I mean, at the moment, I'm working on something with Fitch that's kind of, we're doing something a bit different as writers, which I'll happily share with you another time. But yeah, it's fun, you know. Dialogue is fun. You can sit there and listen to conversations and pick at things that people say and go away and write them, you know.
But also thinking about dialogue, it has to fit the particular project you've got. For instance, like Reddin, that was that could have been a Western movie. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't any. Oh. It didn't seem like someone trying too hard to write this. And it's the same with this. All the dialogue is completely fitting of the subject matter.
Well, a lot of it's funny you say Reddin, because a lot of people actually like went after us for the dialogue. Like Matt and I, basically, we were sat playing cowboys, and that's how cowboys speak when you play cowboy. You know, they call each other partner and stuff. And a lot of like blogs and stuff like kind of attacked us for the fact that we were a bit hammy with the dialogue, but it was a hammy story.
it's some people have a tendency to overthink some of these things.
Wouldn't you say?
I mean, I loved it. I think it's fantastic. Partner.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know what? Hopefully we're going to, you know, shift a few more, because it didn't do so well. It hasn't really got into the stores like I hoped, but you know.
Yeah.
That's different. Oh, that's a different time.
Yeah. but Last Driver certainly going to get a lot of
attention. Oh, I can see this still now. Are you doing any signings, Chris? Shaky, are you doing any sort of release parties or signings or anything like that? Anything planned?
Well,
yeah, we're doing a release party. Definitely, Christopher's arranging it. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. Chris, you want to give
Shaky is absolutely right. We've been talking about this for a while. I mean, Dead Canary, we do try to be a bit rock and roll. So yeah. We did a really cool launch party for the Fitzroy. I don't think we knew you guys then, but we would have invited you. And it was like it was hip hop. The whole thing was hip hop. It was loads of fun, and you know it was like 300 people dancing. We had a good time. We were, for a fucking comic book. So hey, so when we do Last Driver, there will be some dude flipping burgers. There will be fun and mirth and drinks and.
Yeah, it's got to be a barbecue.
Yeah, and there has to be sort of John Carpenter-style new wave retro synth music.
Yeah. But, I'm not going to the urinal, though, at your party. I might have a sit-down and use the cubicle.
Spoilers. Hey, just be careful what you say at the stall, you know?
That's a nice piece. So,
we're going to, and I think Shaky and I and the Dead Canary guys will be at Thought Bubble. So, please come up and say hello. And Nottingham. Well, yeah, Matt and I are going to go. It's going to be quite discreet, Nottingham. We might not even put Last Driver out on the table there. So, we might do, but come along and see us.
You'll have copies by then, though, won't you?
Yeah,
we will. We value the Kickstarter backers, and we want them to be the first to have it in their hands.
Yeah,
so
quite right too. Absolutely.
I mean, the thing is, Kickstarter as a model for us is we have to maintain a professional standard, and we make sure that everything is just to the letter. The money is going straight into the product. So at the moment, we're trying to push for. A better quality of print, and we've printed a few books recently, and we want Last Driver to just be that little bit better. So we're going for a bit more. I mean, maybe it's the next reward. I would urge people to get involved, because the next reward is where we splash out and give everyone something extra. So that's me just plugging my Kickstarter. You see what I did there?
That's right. We don't mind you, Chris. You took a while to get around to it. You're a gentleman.
Hey, you got to buy a lady a drink first.
Nice. But, it's interesting you bring up the maintaining the quality regarding Kickstarters, because Tony, that feeds into the point you was going to make about the Kickstarter projects.
Yeah,
you were talking about.
I've sort of kept an eye on it for a while, and it's I don't think we put it on the Facebook to sort of get a bit of conversation going. But it's a book called Anathema, which I bought. It's by a lady called Rachel Deering. I bought a book from her before. Yeah. What she's done is she's kickstarted a comic series, produced the first four of six, and then closed down all her social media.
Yeah. Now, before we get into this, I've actually got the collected version of the first book. I really like the series. Like when it was turned up, it had that sort of Hammer horror vibe, like classic sort of kitsch sort of 70s sort of comics and stuff like that. And I really sort of enjoyed it, and I've got the collection. Little did I know that all this stuff was happening.
Going on. Yeah. I interviewed her for Beard Rock 3 or 4 years ago now, and very enthusiastic about it, you know. And I think what happened is she produced, I think the storyline goes this way, she produced another Kickstarter but completely underestimated the shipping. All of us moan about Kickstarter is put it in the shops first before sending it out to the backers, you know. And then eventually sent it out to the backers, but unfortunately, apparently, it cost her an awful lot of money that meant she couldn't pay the creators on the other series she was running. This is as I understand it. I can't speak completely. I've had a little bit of this sort of first hand from her. And then created a Patreon to pay money for the postage, and then didn't send anything out on the Patreon, and then closed that down, and then just wrote deleted next to her name on Kickstarter, and then closed down all her social media. So you've got there's a lot recently. There's been a couple of posts gone up on the Kickstarter page saying, you know, this is, you know, bordering on fraudulent, you know, this sort of thing. I'm sort of paraphrasing it, but, you know, you've ordered and you've paid for it. Because so, if you see Kickstarter as essentially a way of pre-ordering a product, then you've paid your money and then you don't get the product. There's something slightly wrong about that. All right, I'm saying.
Yeah. I feel like from that story, she's kind of got herself in a lot of hot water and she doesn't know how to deal with it and just kind of made one mess up after the next.
Yeah.
That's given her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I would chime in and just say that to all people that Kickstarter is not like normal social media. It's like the opportunity to have an audience and run a business and run an auction. And I think that if you check the risks bit, you need to really, as a backer, you need to really look at those risks, because you are joining a group of investors, basically. So, I mean, we've had a lot of experience doing Kickstarter, so we're lucky. So we know how to budget things. So I would say to anyone going into it, don't get greedy. Think, okay, how much is this going to cost? Get a comic around about the same size, put it in an envelope, weigh it. How much is this going to cost? And work out how much it's going to cost. Someone in fucking Australia might want one. So put a little overhang. And Kickstarter want their cut as well. So consider that. So you need to sit down and do the numbers before you even begin to do the Kickstarter. And it's a tough racket, man. It really is, because it puts a smear on everyone else who tries to run a legit thing. And we learned our lessons. Like, we had a title Trained Medic, and that wasn't getting finished in time, so it's no longer a title under Canary. And I mean, Frogman, we pushed it to a trilogy, because we felt like a trilogy is a nicer thing to put in a book that isn't a single issue comic and say, here's a graphic novel. And for us, that's the model. Don't use Kickstarter as a way to build an audience. Like, the next issue will come soon. You know, say, here's a product, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Come back to us for more.
So I'm right in thinking, Chris, that your product was pretty much finished before you put it on Kickstarter, wasn't it?
We insisted. Yeah. We basically, Shaky was amazing. I mean, he worked to the deadlines we set. Everything was done. He actually did like so much more art as well, right? Shaky did like five additional covers and
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Are we going to see them as stretch goals, or are we, or as prints? And
well, you know what? There's a few little extras in the book. We're still basically in the final stages of production. We've had it lettered with a chap we're working with now in New York. So the lettering is very different to the one you've seen, guys.
Okay.
So you will be getting something new if you back today. but then the I'm plugging all over the place now. So I've lost my train of thought completely. But yeah, so basically, there will be other
preparation
things.
Preparation is what you're saying as well. You know, you've got to prepare. I know Ken Reynolds posted a screenshot of the countries that had backed Cognition. And he was quite surprised. I mean, there was a big chunk of people from all around the world, and a lot of people from America. You know, I think you've got to be prepared. You think, you know, we're sort of, you know, a smallish country. Oh, we're just going to send it. You know, the furthest is going to be Wales or something. But no, you know, there's people in Malaysia and America and Canada and Australia who are going to want this product as well, you know?
Yeah, and there are a lot of good products out there at the moment on Kickstarter. It's almost like we may look back on this time as like a little mini indie revolution in the comics world, because so many books that would have never been made have been made. Have you read Turncoat, right? I mean, Ryan O'Sullivan's book. Mm. That's great, man. I mean, fuck, that's a web comic that's like a really good web comic, a really good creator.
Yeah.
And now I can have the book, you know? Yeah. That's, you know, and there's loads of these guys out there. And yeah, I mean, everyone wants to be working at DC and Marvel, right? I mean, but if you have an audience that are reading your stuff, do you want to be working at DC and Marvel? You know,
maybe your book, comics, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, if your comics can pay for themselves and you can actually start to organize, I would just say to the indie publishers out there, like, a lot of people do it, like, just club together and start working as a team and, you know, getting people reading. It's important, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, coming from an area where cut and paste meant like having some glue and a pair of scissors, Shaky, as you and I both did, how are you coping with this sort of digital revolution that's kind of happened, isn't it? Everything's digital now.
That's right. In fact, it's been the bad thing that's happened to my art. I used to try to get that flat mechanical colour. It's impossible to paint it flat, but Photoshop, even basic Photoshop, you can. So you know, get a really clean flat color, and it's pretty much the same as I used to work on. The way I used to work, I used to do the drawings at whatever scale, drop the grid of the page, go to the scale center or the photocopy shop, get the pictures reduced down to the right size, then actually use a print stick and stick them up on to make a
page. Bloody hell!
Yeah.
But, now, of course, I can put them into the scanner. Once I figured out how to scan in an A3 picture and merge them together on the screen, that was the real breakthrough for me. The technology.
Yeah.
You know, because I used to cut the pictures in half and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
No, so, it's really hard.
So as a point of sort of marketing your art and your stories, have you taken advantage of it so far, or do you shy away from that side of things?
I don't know. I sort of think there's nothing beyond Facebook for some reason.
Right.
that's the critical world that I see.
Your website was how I found you, Shiki. I mean, your website's pretty...
The website, yeah, I've got to update that. I haven't updated it for a long time. You know, that's something I've got to get around to doing.
That website is very much a sort of, it's like a portal to another world rather than just a website.
Yeah, right? Isn't it? Yeah.
So, thank you very much.
But you know, for those who are unaware of the style of Shaky Kane's artwork, you know, when you go to someone's website, you immediately want to get a good idea of what this person, you know, this work they do, and I think that's a good representation of, like, you know, some of the ideas you have.
No, definitely. It was actually put together by a really fantastic guy called Simon Fincher. He put so much work into making that a reality, you know.
Okay.
So how long have you had that website then?
I don't know. 3 years? 2 years? 3 years.
Not too long, then.
Not that long, really, no. No, it's got fairly up-to-date things on it. I just don't keep up with sending in the JPEGs, which I really should.
It's not as immediate as social media, though.
That sort of
stuff can really get away from you as well. You know, you always sort of mean to send a JPEG or like a thumbnail of something, and before you know it, a couple of weeks pass, and then it's two thumbnails, and so on.
That's right. Yeah, I've probably got about 200.
So, are you two? Would you two guys, I mean, I love the combination of your writing and the art. Would you two guys like to work on anything else together? Is there any sort of established characters that you could see you two guys working on?
Well, you go ahead, Shay.
There's a character that I sort of developed called Captain Dinosaur. I don't know if you saw this in one shot.
Yes.
Image guy. I like the idea of Captain Dinosaur being like a sort of character that you could write any story onto, so that there's no logic in the character, so he could be an unsupported actor in any comic book. I think that'd be maybe a nice idea to do. Maybe it's just a Captain Dinosaur story.
Because I'd love to see you two do a Cursed Earth Judge Dredd story.
That'd be so cool. I wish you worked at 2000 AD. what a hypocrite I am.
even maybe, you know, a little guest spot on Martial Law, something like that, you know.
Well, I'm trying to pen something for Shaky, so.
Right.
Okay. But I know that at the moment he's got another bigger project.
I've got two happening at the same time. That's each other's sort of stitchy day and a half. You know.
Right. Okay.
So, what is your working day then, Shaky? You know, I'm guessing because you're working full time. It's get up, have a bowl of Weetabix, and then get on the drawing board. Is that how it works? Or maybe not.
No.
Is he still there?
Are you there, Shaky?
Shaky.
Oh, what's that? Oh my God. Shaky's become a fly.
He'll come back.
I like to think Shaky sort of transformed somehow, and he's sort of just buzzing at the microphone. That'd be cool, like Cronenberg style. Oh, there he goes.
He's gone. Oh, okay. My question was so offensive that he thought, "Fuck him," and then he's left.
Fuck that guy.
He's had a bit of a dodgy connection, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Are you still there, Chris?
I'm still here, yeah. I was just telling my wife what I wanted to eat from the Chinese.
Awesome.
There, I've said
it. On this show, isn't it? It's fucking Friday night, and we're such nerds, we're just sitting here, I'm getting excited about Shaky drawing Judge Dredd, and you're ordering a Chinese meal. Yeah, that's all right.
this is why we don't record on a Friday night.
Yeah.
But... But I am thumbing through Alan Moore's Providence.
Oh, okay. What do you think?
I'm really enjoying this. This is great. I mean, it's Alan Moore going right back to, like, his Watchmen from Hell days.
And I know you posted on Facebook about... Was it you I saw posted the Guardian story about him backing out of the mix?
Oh, he always says that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. Yeah, he always does that.
He was just so fucked off about people asking him about superheroes. It's just like, he seems like, I've had my time and I don't want to do it anymore. And then every interview he goes for, they seem to kind of bring it up again.
Yeah, they're just trying to throw mud, those people.
Yeah.
It's like they want to paint him as like the grumpy, like nasty comic book writer who chases children away from his front lawn. It's not like that at all. He's a really fucking nice bloke. Yeah.
I saw him give a talk at the V&A about 5 or 6 years ago, and all manner of freakish people tried to talk to him at the end. And I thought, oh, this is going to kick off. Do you know what I mean? And
he was so patient.
Nice. He was so nice to them all, like proper freaky people. You know, and he's like, yeah, what a nice bloke. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, completely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all bullshit, man. It's the fucking Simpsons.
I'm back now. It's come back. Did I drop out of the conversation for
you
a while?
You did. I thought I offended you and you ran away.
Yeah, something like that. It's been fun, you know.
Cool.
80s videos. I'm still trying to.
Yeah, all right, keep reminding me of my stupid question.
I tell you what, it's been so fitting that with a book as crazy as Last Driver, that this episode's just gone completely mental.
It's gone off the rails immediately. Normally we're about an hour and a half, but we're
immediate.
Yeah. Right. Did you really think it was that crazy?
No, crazy
good. We love crazy good on this show.
I'm not crazy in the accepted sort of sense. The fact is, it's been great for me. This is the first time I've actually listened to the podcast all the way through.
You haven't just skipped to your bit.
Yeah. I rarely listen to the podcast through, but somebody reminded me that I'd said something I couldn't remember. I had food poisoning a few months ago, and they did a show, and I can vaguely remember what I said on it. And then they said, why don't you listen to this one? Listen to the end credits. And I'd referred to having sex whilst doing a poo. And I'd completely forgotten I'd said it. I thought, fuck me, what drugs did I on that day?
Not only that, because I do the editing, you've got to be careful what you say.
So be nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a big idea book. Right. Now, without giving too many spoilers, Shaky, what is your favourite page or panel of Last Driver that was the most enjoyable to draw? This could go in at all kinds of directions.
You're going to say you're on, aren't you? Don't be wrong.
All of the panels actually drawn really big. You'd be surprised how big I draw them. There's one particular one where it led up to the big monster sticking his arm through the window. That's quite a nice panel, I thought. You've got like the monster, and you've got the cop who's sort of telling people to back off. I enjoy drawing. The big page is always nice. And slash ones like the pterodactyl thing being shot in the face, which is featured in the video. Yeah, that's good. It's all been a lot of fun.
So, Shaky, what do you do with your original pieces of artwork?
Ah, that's when the IKEA drawers come in.
Okay.
The only thing that the actual bottoms fall out of the drawers, you can't open them. If you put too much paper in there, it sort of forces them down. You know, trying to tug them open. What I do with the originals, I just stack them up. I keep thinking to myself, I'm going to go through, and the ones that no one ever going to buy, you know, which are about 80% of them, I'm going to just put them in a recycling bin. That's my plan. You know.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Surely it'll be a massive market and interesting.
I'm going to stake your dustbin out for a couple of weeks.
Hashtag save Shaky Kane's art.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but bin nights on a Thursday, if anyone's interested. Second Thursday in the month. <It's> like...
Did I mention that there are shaky cane prints and original art available on our Kickstarter? As they're about to become very valuable.
Yeah, that's true.
I sort of stress the ones that no one would be interested in, you know, things like close-up of a hand holding the gun or something, you know. I've got lots of those, lots of them, you know.
Well, dude, I'm just going to text you my address. PayPal you some postage.
Yeah. Send me a bin bag.
Tony is sending around a shipping crate.
Oh dear! Right, all those people out there that are just thinking shaky cane artwork that could possibly get recycled.
Oh God. But there's all those stories about British comics, isn't there, where they were using to jam open doors and all this sort of thing, weren't they? You know,
the one with the flood, just absolutely galling.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. But in the same way that Marvel used to hand out the artwork, didn't you know, used to hand out Kirby's artwork to people.
Yeah. There's little gifts for visiting the office and stuff like that, didn't they? Apparently, yeah.
I really.
Bloody hell.
I didn't know who did that. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
This is all becoming very sad.
It is, yeah. It is. Don't bring us down. Yeah.
Yeah, this can't be melancholy, this show.
This needs to be a blue sky.
Yeah, it does, yeah. We need to blow the brains out of a big frog creature. That's what we need to do. Cheer ourselves up.
If it gets in our way,
fantasize a sort of hard rock, hardcore porn film in our minds.
What music did you listen to while you read it? I'm curious.
Let me have a look.
No, but Shaky, what did they listen to while they read it?
What did you
listen to when you drew it?
Yeah.
Perturbator. Who is the band? It's Nick Kent.
Awesome.
James Perturbator Kent. It's well worth listening to.
Okay.
Night Drive and Avenger, that's what I was listening to.
That's all kind of like the synthwave
Exactly. Yeah. Just like Tom Carpenter music, you know, sort of, but quite simplistic, but, you know, pretty good.
I think depending on what you're drawing or in very much writing, I personally have to listen to something that has to get me into that mindset. Do you know what I mean? I can't, you know, you just can't listen to, you know, a certain any old rock album, for instance. If I'm trying to do something like, if I'm trying to write something like The Omen, you know, you wouldn't be able to get into that mindset if you're singing along to a song. Not that I've written anything like The Omen, of course.
It's weird. I get the ideas when I'm listening to music and walking to something, but if I'm writing it, I can't have the music.
Yeah. It's got to be right. Yeah, silence. I can only write to Cyndi Lauper, "Girls Just Want to Have Fun." I'll just have that on a bit of a loop.
Yeah, but they
explains
just want to have
a hell
fun,
of a
Tony.
Yeah,
yeah,
that really that's all they want.
Yeah,
that's all they want is
that's
a bit of fun.
That's all they want.
Chris, all I want, to be fair.
Yeah, it's true. Chris, what do you when you sit down to write? What's the setup you've got?
I just put on The Weather Girls, "It's Raining Men."
Ah, classic.
No,
it's hard to write when you're doing a little dance. I find that.
Yeah. I know if it gets you tapping. No, you know what I do? I go onto like Apple Music and make a playlist, and I just add a load of music that is feeling like the vibe, and then just that's my music for the next month.
Okay.
Last Driver was the Prodigy's album with the fox on it.
Right.
One's that?
I don't know. I forget the name of it, like Nightlife or something. But it's pretty forgettable, but pretty cool. So if you want an accurate portrayal, just listen to that.
Yeah. Well, what do you do, say, when you're out and about and you've got an idea for the part of the story? Do you carry a notebook around, or do you kind of put it on the phone? Or
stop what I'm doing, get coffee, sit down, get my phone out, write something. I note. There's a lot of notes on my phone. It's something me and Matt used to do. We used to just put a note down and then just send it, and eventually a script would come out of the vibe of the world. But I mean, if you guys write and you know you have an idea, you just go, yeah, I got to get that down before.
You got to get it down as quickly as you can before it leaves your brain. Yeah. Sometimes with me, you know. I know David. Is it David Mamet? He writes, he's written that book about writing in diners or writing in coffee houses, isn't he? And he likes that sort of white noise around him.
Yeah.
And I kind of dig that, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I wrote Last Driver on the train. I wrote it completely in transit, actually. There wasn't a moment it stood still. So, I think that was how I started writing. And now I have more time at home, so I am able to write at home. But I wrote everything beforehand, like, just on a train.
I wonder if that in some ways sort of lent itself to the sense of urgency, because it is...
Well, flashing by your window as well, sort of.
Possibly, yeah.
And it smells of armpits. Is that a similar sort of...
There were days when there's like some screaming kid or something and...
Yeah. She just shot the kid through the face with a magnum.
My goodness. I know. I imagined the kid was a T-Rex. Yeah.
Okay.
Or a dung beetle or something.
It's quite a difference, to be fair. You must be insane when you go in the Natural History Museum. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm quite rational. It's the world that gets insane. There's giant fucking creatures everywhere.
That's very true. Give it 3 years and Last Driver will be the sanest thing you've ever read.
I'd like to record Last Driver. I'd like to look at that world. I think
we started on 80s videos and stuff and things like that.
Yeah, we still haven't quite got there yet.
No.
Jakey has the list coming.
He's gotten up to Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Quality.
Yeah, but if right, here's the big idea. If Last Driver was a big budget movie, right, who would you get to direct it? Have I completely stumped them again?
Well, I was kind of, my first thing was, do I have to answer that? And in the modern Hollywood sort of, like, we can't get John Carpenter because he's an old guy and he did Mars. Whatever that was, Ghost on Mars.
Yeah, I love John Carpenter, but his recent output hasn't been the best.
I'm going to go a little left field, and I'm going to say Werner Herzog. I'd love to see what mentalness came out of him around that. Yeah.
Oh. I would say Luc Besson.
Yeah. Oh.
Get some great, stunning sort of vistas of the desert, and some really trippy monsters going on. I think it would
probably be Robert Rodriguez on a green screen, wouldn't it?
Thank you. I was going to say Robert Rodriguez.
Tarantino would do it. I'd do a good one, I think. As much as he's gone a little bit dull, I think he'd do a good one. Do you know what I mean?
What are you talking a little bit dull? I love that.
To be fair, I haven't seen that, but I just, I'm a big fan of Reservoir Dogs. And I think Kill Bill was that sort of colourful, that'd lend itself to... Yeah,
I think it'd be great if it's directed by Charles Band. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Who's that dude?
The guy from the Full Moon movies, Puppet Master. And
Oh my god! Oh my god! Right, okay, you and I are now best friends, Shaky. I've got a copy of Doll Man versus Demonic Toys right in front of me.
And I've got that as well. And I've got that. Definitely fantastic. That's the only thing I actually like.
Do you think if Tom Hiddleston like beefed up, he'd be a good Frank Sutton? Just put the glasses on him and give him the smile.
Look, none of us are believing that Taylor Swift lie.
Everyone's got it in for Tasteway.
We're big fans of the Trancers 5 movie cover. Yeah. The movie's trash. With a cover with him and sitting on a horse. That looks brilliant. Jack Death from Trancers would make a great character. Yeah.
When you guys said Rowdy Roddy Piper on that last thing, that was the most perfect casting. You missed your calling as a casting agent.
I can't believe somebody else has brought up Puppet Master on this show. It's like the best episode ever. Thank you, Shoki.
I actually collect
me too. Yeah.
Shaky, you've just become Tony's favourite person in the world.
It's like Deathbed, and there's a great one called the Dead Hate the Living, which is the best forever, isn't it?
I like stuff like Basket Case and all that sort of thing as well, those films.
I love Basket Case.
Yeah.
Do you know who wrote the original Demonic Toys?
No, who?
David Goyer.
Oh, okay. Do you know who wrote Trancers 3?
No.
Peter David?
No.
Peter David?
Yeah. Who wrote the Hulk comic writer?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Small world.
Some classics here. Full Moon, I follow Full Moon on Twitter. But, yeah.
Do you know who wrote Commando?
Going,
do you remember Commando? Sorry? Do you know who wrote Commando?
Yeah, that's yeah. Jeff Loeb. Jeff Loeb.
Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
This show has become something completely different.
It's like the Mallet's Mallet of comics.
Oh, right. Oh, we lost Shaky again. Oh, he's gone off to watch Puppet Master 6.
Revenge of the Wishmaster.
Oh, Solomon.
Oh, I'll tell you what, though. It's quite fitting. Last Drive is a hell of a fun.
And, yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I know you've been getting a lot of good word of mouth from it. But
oh, well, thanks to people like you, yeah.
Oh, it's good, mate. No, it's worth it. Yeah, definitely.
It's really good. Yeah. Really
you're all it. Getting comics. You know that, right?
Yeah. You need to. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to put your drinking trousers on for Nottingham, is what you need to do. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm coming up for the day and I'm not driving. So, hey.
Oh, good.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So, yes. Is it just a case on Kickstarter? People search for The Last Driver?
Yeah, search for Last Driver or go to Facebook, Dead Canary Comics, and we have loads of updates. If you go to the website, www.deadcanarycomics.com, you can check out the Last Driver Kickstarter page, and there's a link to the Facebook. There's a link there.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at this PR thing, you know. But the boys in marketing tell me it's a good thing.
So. Yeah, yeah. Although, you know, you just like talking about comics. That's what we love.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah. I mean, this is great. I should get my own podcast just to talk about comics.
Yeah.
Trust me, don't. It's a lot of fun.
No, it's I don't get the I get the urge every so often so I can call you for my fix, you know. You're like my podcast dealers.
Yeah. We'll probably
anytime,
have
anytime, dude. You know that.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Thanks, man. You're really kind, all of you.
Yeah. And be sure, everyone out there, to check out the show notes, etc. Because as Dan said last week, you know, we put a lot of work into them. So if you want to find out where to get these books and check out these Kickstarters, Shaky's work, Chris, etc., it'll all be on the show notes. But there's so much to check out in Last Driver. I mean, Dead Canary is always an impressive output. Ever since I discovered you guys, I've always been impressed by the output you do. So,
yeah, definitely.
I'm blushing.
This won't be the last time we talk to you, probably. There'll probably be something else in the future. But
There will be. There is the Ministry of Normal coming very soon, and I would get everyone to go and check that out as well. It's really fun. It's on our website. There's some pages. Paul Clark Force's opus to the superhero.
Oh, nice.
It's a really beautiful book, guys.
Yes.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, it's very funny too.
Well, we like funny on this show, and it's not we've all got a bit funny tonight.
Well, you know, you'll be getting a copy to read soon, so
yeah,
oh, nice we'll do because I've just placed.
Oh, I just saw. Yeah, something just there popped up on my phone. Oh, thank you. Wow.
No pleasure, mate. Yeah, some great prints along with that as well, aren't there? Some really good ones. Yeah.
I'll take this moment to give a shout out to Greg Menzie, our colorist, who did an amazing rendition of Frank Sutton that we've put together. As it's going to be in the book, and you also get a lovely print if you pledge, I think, the reward that you pledged. So it's a really, really cool picture, and Greg is just like one of these guys who just won't slow down. He's been doing coloring for Marvel recently. His original comics are worth seeking out as well. Greg is awesome. Go Greg.
Excellent. And we've lost, just so everyone knows, I'm afraid we've lost Shaky again. I think he's got a bit of a dodgy connection in whatever planet Shaky lives on.
I prefer to think of him actually watching Puppet Master as we speak.
Yeah.
Could not deny the edge.
I've got an image, because you can get little action toys of all the Puppet Master toys, can't you? Just surrounded by him, like rattling at him. You know. I'm going to have to watch that now. I'm going to have to watch. I've got the first three in a box set in front of me. I'll watch that now tonight. Yeah. Oh, he's back. There you go.
Right, Shaggy. No, it's not. I don't know what happened.
You were watching Puppet Master. We all know it.
Yeah.
So don't deny it. So there you go, folks. Check out the Kickstarter. Shaky and Chris are going to be sticking with us for the rest of the show. But before that...
Well, actually, can I jump in and just say I'm going to have to duck out?
No worries. No problems.
Oh, but
the Chinese arrived, didn't it?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes, you're so clever. Yeah, it's right there. It's smoking hot too. I'll say bye-bye to you, Shaky, and guys, I really appreciated this, and yeah, I love listening.
Thank you.
So yeah. I listen while I drive. So
if you listen to the next episode, you'll hear all the things we'll talk about you when you're gone.
Yeah. Oh no!
Thank you for joining us, Chris.
Take it easy, guys. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you soon. Yeah, see you in Nottingham.
Yeah, we'll do. Bye, mate.
Bye.
There you go.
So good. Shaky. Now you can fill us in. What was it really like talking, working with him? No. Thank you very much, Chris, for joining us. Shaky's going to stick with us. You're okay to stick with us for the rest of the show?
Yeah, that's good. What time does Tesco Express go?
You're ruining all our illusions, Shaky.
Okay. I say Tesco Express.
I'd like to say that we are currently looking for sponsorship to the show. So if any Chinese takeaways or Tesco Express.
Yeah, that's cool.
It just springs to mind. It just springs to mind.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
I'm like 80s movies.
He'll never leave it. Honestly, this is going to say that on my gravestone.
Where the guy had a skeleton inside his body made of the metal.
And a catchphrase. I can't think of what it was. Yeah.
You must have seen it. Yeah. I've got bodybuilder in
there. People always lending him their jackets. I don't know what that's about.
Oh, dear. So, what events have we got coming up, Tony?
Pete Milligan and Rufus Daglow, that surely can't be a real name, are signing.
Is it? I don't know.
What, Rufus Daglow?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? I don't know, okay. Forbidden Planet, Chastity Avenue, Clint Langley, Rob Williams and Fraser Irving are signing. Scorch Comics in Eastbourne, you've got Mick McMahon, or Mike McMahon, I'm not sure which actually, I was getting confused around that. Chris Weston and Boo Cook. Boo Cook, is that a real name? I don't know. Infinity and Beyond in Shrewsbury is Leah Moore, John Repian. We like Leah and John, don't we? Yeah. They're good. And Steve Yole, they're signing. Steve, obviously a good bloke as well. Don't want to do him down. And Waterstones in Prince's Street in Edinburgh is Alan Grant and Gordon Rennie, amongst a couple of other people. So I love Alan Grant. Alan Grant is a proper good bloke, isn't he? Have you ever met him?
I've never met him, but he does seem... I mean, the only time I've ever seen him is that Future Shock documentary.
Oh, yeah, the one you watched.
Tell a lie. I think I've seen him in other stuff, in other documentaries, but yeah.
Yeah.
Great. It's fantastic.
Really good writer. I loved his Batman and Demon, all that sort of thing. Anyway, well, I went to UCAC many years ago when I was a young lad. And a writer, I shall not name him, came on the stage with his sort of handler. And they said, please do not bother Mr. Moore. And I named him then, didn't I? In the toilet or when he's just wandering about. Just speak to him when he's signings and all this sort of thing. Like we were in the presence of God. Yeah. And Alan Grant came on next and just said, oh, just speak to me whenever you see me. I don't really care. And I thought, what a good egg.
Yeah.
I like that. Do you know what I mean?
We like good eggs on this show.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. The 6th of the 10th for 4 days is the New York Comic Con, which I've got a countdown on my phone for. So I'm very excited about that.
You have every year, though, don't you?
I know, yeah. I get excited. I've got a countdown for lots of things.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Next toilet time, all sorts of things. And at that will be loads of people who we know from the show, most specifically the Mighty Lamming. The Mighty Vander's going to be there. I think he's only going to be there a couple of days, but I look forward to seeing Bright. I haven't seen him for a year. And I'm going to be there with Matt Harrell. We're going to be queuing up together. So if you know what I look like, I hope you don't, come and say hello. Or just tweet me, because I'll have my phone on. And if you're at the New York Comic Con, I'd love to have a chat with you. So there's a couple of people I'm looking forward to meeting who I know have listened in the past and listened sort of on and off. Yeah. So that'll be good.
And if you see Tony and he does have Matt with him, Give Matt your love and condolences, because he has to walk around with Tony.
He does have to walk around with me. And he goes, I force him into speaking to people, because he's the only one I speak to. And I say, well, speak to him now. And I make him speak to people. It amuses me. It's good. Yeah, we have an absolutely brilliant time. Really good time we have. I recommend anyone who hasn't been to it, you should go to it and just hang about an artist alley all day. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to seeing the 11 o'clock comics guys. All sorts of people at that. And on the 29th of October is our next big event is Nottingham Comic Con.
Yay!
Yay! At that is going to be Improper Books, all those bastards, and the aforementioned Mr. Lamming, Avery Hill, who you've no doubt just heard about, but we're recording this out of order, so I don't know if you have. The Etherington brothers, who I interviewed last year, good company. Rachel Smith, Paul Rainey, who we must get on the show because he's a barrel of laughs. Andy Blore, who we've not spoken about for a couple of months now, but Andy's a good egg. Nick Prolix, Dead Canary, who we know those people, don't we?
Yeah.
Jen Brown, who mine and Jen's comic is just, we've done a two-pager for the charity special comic they're producing, and it's just been finished, and we just sent it to Kevin wherever they're pleased. And Dan, who's not here currently here, but I'm sure might be here in a second, did the lettering for it, so we're very excited. The crazy people that are Madius, Reckless Hero, could be great to see them, Fly Comics, Gavin Mitchell, Kev Brett, and the mighty Emily will be there as well. So that's it for events there, dude. There you go.
Awesome. So what shout-outs have we got? Tony, you got a couple, haven't you?
Yeah, I got a few, actually. Nick Prolix, who's a friend of the show and an all-round good egg.
Good dude, yeah.
Yeah, he is proper good bugger. He's a creator of the webcomic The Sheep and the Wolves. He's on Patreon. Now, I am a great believer in Patreon for artists. I've got to tell you, I think it's a great little... treated well and treated right, it's a great thing for artists to use. So if you go to patreon.com, Nick Prolix, who's NickProlix, he's good. Have a look at that. And two Kickstarters. Bubbles 07 goes live on Kickstarter, and I think it's as of the 21st of September. I saw the video. We saw the video the other day, didn't we, for it?
Yeah.
Was it is as nutty and as good as the last video for the first issue, which is a 007 pastiche. I'm going to call it that. Don't call it a piss take. And the big one for me, which is the thing that pretty much brought me back to Kickstarter, was Monologue Issue 3. Our friend Stuart McCoy, he's got this series is so good. One of my favourite series ever. And Issue 3 is now up. And there's, I think you can, there's most of the packages contain all three issues. And there's various prints and original art and all at great prices. So have a look at that. Go to Monologue Issue 3 on Kickstarter. There you go. That's my ones.
Awesome. Nice. Lovely. Dan, do you have any shout outs?
It's to myself. It was the good news during the week. Vanguard was accepted onto the Spider Forest webcomic communique thing. So that's really good. So hopefully you get the comic in front of a lot more eyeballs and more readers. So
amazing. Well done, cool. Dan. Even though you just patted yourself on the back, I think it's well
deserved. Dan.
Yeah, someone's got to do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, have you got any shout-outs, Mr. Hunt?
I have a mini shout-out, and just like Dan, it's partially about me. If you go to OKTrueBelievers.com, the True Believers website, for the festival taking place next year, of which the Awesome Comics podcast will be there as well. We get about everywhere, but there's a small little interview with me.
There is, isn't there?
Yeah. Where I've actually thought about what I'm saying. It's not like this show, it's actually thought out.
I don't believe that to start.
Just being consciousness.
Just saying boobs a lot doesn't count as thinking.
Yes. But if you go on there, check them out anyway. They've got a great list of guests and exhibitors up for next year. So, so check that out. Now,
is it a picture of you drawing with a cat on your shoulder or something?
No one can see the cat. I've cropped the cat out. So it looks professional. And you can tell it's professional because I put it through Instagram.
Oh, you love a bit of Instagram, you do, don't you?
No, I don't. I bet your Instagram would be terrifying if you had one, Tony.
I have got one because I stalked you on it because I found that picture of you without a beard doing
a
silly face.
All right, let's not talk about that now.
Can you still send me that?
I was never quite.
Oh God!
For Photoshop sexy purposes.
Let's get this train back on the tracks. Recommendations. What would we like to recommend to the good people out there, Tony?
Should we go to our guest first? How about that?
Oh, let's. Shaky.
What recommendations have you got, sir?
Well, we all liked Stranger Things, obviously, and because of that, I read about a book called Paper Girls, which this is an extremely current, but I think it's come on trade paperback not that long ago. It's actually very good, you know, it really is. It's nice. I don't know how much like Stranger Things it is. I know they ride bicycles and that, but you know, it's set in that sort of world, but it's surprisingly good, you know. I'm not a big fan of a contemporary comic, so you probably gathered from looking at my drawings, but it certainly works, you know. It's good. I like it a lot.
So that's by Brian K. Vaughan, isn't it, I think, is that right?
That's right, that's exactly who it is, and it's drawn by Cliff Chang.
Oh yes, he's very good, isn't he? Yeah, I like it.
I really want to get on this series. It looks brilliant, and also because it's Image, the first trade is like $7.99 or something like that, I think.
That's right. Yeah, that's actually $7.50, which is incredible, really. For you know, that's
yeah.
pretty good.
Yeah, everyone's talking. I think it's won some awards this year, isn't it? I think as well. Did it win? Is it an Ignatz or a Harvey or something? I think.
Oh right, it's been really, really well received. Then I see.
Oh, what deserved.
There was another book that do you know Crentable, the cartoonist? Crentable, does that ring any bells?
No, not for me.
Crentable suggested the book that I bought. This is going back a little bit. It's called Tower Assaulter. One Man with One Tower. Have you ever seen that? That's fantastic.
Pantagraphic. Oh, look that.
Who's that by? Who publishes that?
Benjamin Maras.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Possibly, yes, that's fantastic, and it's so it's undescribable, really, when you read it.
Yeah.
So, which doesn't really help if you're trying to describe on a podcast. I told you I should have kept that camera on. It's great. The colours, you know, just crudely done. It's fantastic.
I like Benjamin Moore. He's great. Yeah, yeah.
One Man, One Tower. It's called.
Okay. Cool.
Nice. So awesome. That's a look into the mind of what Shaky Kane reads.
So, there you go.
Yeah, folks. Yeah. It's not all Tesco Express and IKEA drawers.
I'd like to see Cronenberg and Shaky shopping at Tesco Express. That would probably make my year. I think I'd be happy then.
Yeah.
Shaky buying his cereals, Cronenberg looking for Bovril. I don't know.
Yeah. Telling him off for Existence. You know, that sort of thing.
I've never seen Existence. Is that any good?
It's all right. It's all right. So that's what I'm going to say. Yeah.
But there's something that's... Go on, Dad.
Jude Law's accent in it is fucking horrible.
Yeah. It's when Jude Law had a bit of a bar in it as well, so he looks a bit different compared to what he looks like now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey Jude.
I saw Jude Law open the door for him in Costa Coffee recently, and he's taller than you think. Yeah. And he said, "Thanks, mate," as he walked past me, and I thought,
"Oh, your mate's with Jude Law. Amazing."
Yeah, I actually had a conversation with him, if you count. Here you go, mate. And he went, "Thanks, mate." So don't call mate, you fucking wanker.
Yeah.
Hey, talking about shopping, this is quite a good thing. Do you know Steve Cook, who used to design for Fleetway at one time?
Yeah,
He's now working for DC Comics in America. He actually saw Iggy Pop shopping in his local supermarket. That's pretty good, isn't it?
That is pretty cool, yeah. He's got to have a cool supermarket. What was he just buying, like, can you just buy heroin in his local supermarket? That's pretty much what he survives on, isn't it, Iggy Pop? Other drugs are available, obviously.
Yeah. He's probably, I don't know, Cheerios. He looks like the type of bloke that would eat Cheerios.
Yeah, but he doesn't have milk on him. A DC eats a raw out of the packet.
Yeah.
They probably had a, you know, 2-for-1 on...
All these sugar boxes. Oh, look. Yeah, candles are on sale. He's like that, isn't he?
Yeah. I didn't know Iggy Pop liked ricicles. Anyway. Anyway. comics. What would you like to recommend, Tony?
I'm going to recommend a webcomic, because look at me. I'm up with the 21st century. Is that cool. What we're in now? Forgetting. It's by Robin Holzman, who is Robin Pierce on Twitter. I'm not sure why she's got two different names on there, but she's written a webcomic that is just been kickstarted as a collected edition. I've got a couple of the single issues called Curia Regis. Curia Regis is the Latin term for royal court. And it's basically a long form comic series that she described as moonlighting as a web comic. Have you guys seen it? Have you?
No, I have seen it, and I pledged to the Kickstarter, the successful Kickstarter.
Man.
So it looked amazing, but I looked at it later, and I kind of wanted to start the story from the beginning, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I
yeah.
wanted a printed copy to hold. So I'm thoroughly looking forward to.
Yeah, it's a lovely web comic as well. It starts off in black and white, but soon hits the sort of colour. If you imagine Terry Moore, maybe some of the Hernandez brothers' work, and you merged it with a sort of animation style, crisp, sort of flattish colours, really nice sort of quality line work. It's updated twice weekly, and it's just it's easily overstepped its Kickstarter goal, and it is absolutely lovely. It follows, I'm going to call it the French Revolution, but I think it's in a somewhat... They never specify what European country it happens in, and it's the intrigue around the court and the revolution, and you know, people challenging each other to duels, and you know, the little sort of politics, Machiavellian politics that go on behind the scenes. Really lovely stuff. Robin was very kind, saying some very kind things about the small press. We're not journalists, are we? But small press reviewers, I suppose, is the best way to put it. And how we do it for free, and you know, don't demand that your comic gets reviewed. And I thought, yeah, right on. I'm glad someone finally said that, and it's very nice. If you go to www.whatido, so whatido, www.whatido.co.uk, and you'll find it. Lovely stuff, really worth a look. There you go.
Amazing. And I like I say, I'll probably be talking about it again when I get the printed copy of my hands.
Yeah. So it's just a little recommend. And if you read it in advance, you can read along with Vince when he gets it, sort of thing. Yeah, good.
There you go. My recommendation for this week is a book that I've already mentioned before, but I got the latest issue which came out this week, which is The Fix, number 5.
Oh, yeah. Love this.
The Fix is probably my favourite comic that's coming out at the moment. Those who don't know about it, it's kind of a crime comedy, an ongoing sort of... It's a grown-up crime comedy about two crooked cops getting in over their head, twists and turns, and just great shenanigans all round. The writer is Nick Spencer, artist Steve Lieber, colours Ryan Hill, and letters and design by Iron Bark. And, you know, the story's one thing, because... Anyone listening to the show knows that I loved Superior Foes of Spider-Man, and if you don't, there's something wrong with you, to be honest. there's just a fantastic comedy pacing that Nick Spencer writes horrible people really well. You're behind these people even though they're absolutely terrible people. There's only one hero in this story, and it's a dog.
It's the best, isn't it? The best cop on the force, the dog or something. Isn't it?
The cop that cannot be bribed. It cannot be it cannot be bought. You know, it's literally a drug enforcement dog. You know, one of those ones they have at airports, called Pretzels, and one of them has to join up with this dog so they can get away with the job further down the road. But his partner Pretzels doesn't like him. And the partner says at one point, you know what, I'm glad they neutered you. There's that. People are just horrible to it.
I get told that a lot as well.
Yeah, it's very true. There's villains that are horrific, but also quite comedic. Steve Lieber doesn't... It's hard to explain how perfect his artwork is for this.
I know Jason Wood was talking about it on 11 O'Clock Comics this week as well. And he was saying it wouldn't work with a more realistic style because it needs that sort of slightly cartoony style that he does so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's right about that.
It's brilliant. That's a perfect way to say it, because it's not completely cartoony. It's not completely serious. It's got that beautiful sort of...
Yeah, it's that middle ground, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that beautiful
It's not Mad Magazine, and it's not Gabriel Hartman, is it?
No. It feels almost like the storyboards for a film. Do you know what I mean? It's got that kind of feel.
Yeah, it does.
And he also does these beautiful in-jokes where someone's thought bubble, there'll be a little scene happening in the thought bubble. Do you know what I mean? Which could only work in comics, do you know what I mean? But perfectly, like, someone has a thought bubble of imagining one of the characters just having their head guillotined off.
Imagine people's deaths a lot when I imagine stuff, don't you?
Exactly. And I imagine, in a thought bubble, it would be quite funny.
Yeah.
In your head, it's probably a lot darker. This isn't an all-ages book. There's death, There's destruction, there's drugs, there's sexual jokes in abundance, and I love it. I've bought each of the individual issues, and I'm going back for the trade when it comes back. So it's amazing. The fix, yeah, cool. It's brilliant. And also, it does twists really well. That's what each issue ends, leaving you wanting more, you know. So
right.
That's great. So cool. There you go. So many books. So many things to check out, whether it be 80s videos, yeah, or God knows what else this week. Thank you to Chris, and thank you, Shaky, for being with us.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan, Shaky. I've loved your stuff since Escape Magazine, dude. Yeah, just love it all. Yeah.
It's really nice of me, you know. It's been nice of me. It isn't nice of me, is it? Yeah. Nice of you to say.
Yeah.
Nice of me to say it.
Yeah. I think I was just the right age for Deadline and, you know, Crisis and Escape Magazine, and you were one of the people who properly twisted my melon back then, I've got to tell you. So, yeah, really great to have you on, sir.
Yeah, that's good. You know, it's good that.
Yeah, I think with Last Driver you're going to get another legion of fans.
Oh, yeah. Immediately. Yeah, I think it's just exactly the right time for a book that's that anarchic. I think we need a bit of that, you know.
Yeah,
that would be really good, you know. Yeah. And,
hopefully
it'll be beyond the Kickstarter as well. You know, we're only talking the idea of extending it. The idea that springs by me is using Frank Sutton as the sort of character in stories that aren't necessarily related to the Last Driver story. He could be like sort of anti-hero in any setting, you know.
Yeah.
Don't like my Captain Dinosaur idea, I suppose.
Yeah.
Imagine you could start up again in another adventure that's nothing to do with the arena.
Yeah, or you could do an Indiana Jones, you could do all sorts of space adventures with him.
Yeah, exactly. That would be good, wouldn't it? So it sounds like the actor in the comic book.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
There's no reference to it. It's just like now it's a space adventure.
Yeah.
Pick up this adventure.
If it was a camera sort of pans into this guy on his adventure and you go off in the adventure, that'd be quite a good format, wouldn't it? Always start by maybe at the controls, you know, moving across the page.
Definitely. Yeah, no, there we go. Look, that's the idea.
we may not have heard the last of Frank Sutton.
I think it says that on the last page, doesn't it, that he might be coming back. So. Yeah. Yeah,
that's what that guy says, doesn't he, in that movie?
This is going to properly haunt me now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, we hope you've enjoyed this episode, folks out there. It's been a properly fun one. It's helped me forget about my man flu, so thank you everyone for tonight. If you want to send sympathy or let us know what you thought about this episode, there's several different ways you can do it. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. likewise, if you've got any events and stuff, we're always on the lookout for more events to let people know about these things. We don't get a chance to go to all of these, but we want you guys to know about them so you can check them out.
I said, if you've got an event, tell us about it.
Ones with really dreary people out that we avoid, but yeah, any other
and,
good
and
ones?
Not one of those fun runs, which is a blatant rip off. You know,
yeah,
a comic event, please.
Unless we get a cut.
So email us tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod. We've got some exciting plans coming. We're not saying anything yet, but changes are coming. Follow us on The Awesome Pod and you'll find out a little bit more of that soon. Likewise, on the facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, I think there's going to be quite a few. Thank you to everyone that gets involved on the Facebook page. We
We started up in the, you know, the interaction on there, which we've started for a few days now, haven't we? And I think just posting that stuff about Kickstarter today, and, you know, everyone was very positive about, you know, how you should use Kickstarter as opposed to the example we gave. So, really useful and sensible conversations. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And thank you for listening, folks. Whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com, whether you listen to us on iTunes, leave us a review, please. You know, we want to get those reviews up. You know, so that more people can find out about this crazy world of comics that we all love talking about. Likewise, if you listen to us on Stitcher, which I know a few people do, a few more people than I thought do.
Cool.
So thank you very much for that. Likewise, if you listen to us on the Podnose Network, which we're part of, hugely appreciated. And it's been a wonderful show. But where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
Ezo, yes, E-Z-O-H-Y-Z, or I'm in the comment section at DollmanVsDuponicToys2.com.
Dan, where can they find you?
Helmut Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
Yes, which you should.
I'm going to get faster and faster at doing that every week. There's just the noise.
It's just going to be bleh. It's just going to go if you follow me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, you can find out more about my comic at the Red Mouse from Mars.com. And Shaky, where can people find you online?
Not in the real world. Online.
Not in the real world. No, we don't.
I'd say that name again. You know, obviously, you know, there are other places you can shop.
Don't give us your postcode, because Tony wants those pages that you're going to recycle. So just be careful.
It's a Shaky Cane. UK. I don't know how that's going to family. No idea.
Basically, folks, check out the show notes.
You find me in the drink aisle.
He's in the booze aisle of his latest Tesco's Express.
With Iggy.
Him and Cronenberg are choosing a Rioja. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. While Iggy Pop's looking at the tofu.
looking at the terps.
If you just put in Shaky Cane on Google, you'd be surprised, I think.
Oh dear. Thank you for joining us, folks.
Yeah, it's been brilliant, mate.
It's been a fantastic show. And thank you to Chris, even though he had to leave us. Chinese, but we understand.
Yeah, he's always entertaining, isn't he?
So, from Chris, Shaky, Dan, Tony, and myself, have a brilliant week and stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
I'm quite a good singer in real life.
True. And you are the most beautiful man I've ever seen.
Who was it who said I was the most beautiful man on podcasting? It was John Late the other day, wasn't it? I was quite impressed by that. John's a good looking man himself. I thought, well, maybe I'm in there.
He is. He's like a one man fireman's calendar, isn't he?
Yeah.